You know, every once in a while we need to cover some things that maybe we've covered before. And I want to talk a little bit tonight about prophecy and about tongues. This last Sunday, for the first time in a little while, we saw that take place. Many of you understood what that was, and some don't. And it seems like every once in a while that subject comes back up. We hear it in the church between the leaders and stuff, because some people believe that's from the past and some believe it's now. Some people have confusion about how that even comes about. So because there's been so much conversation recently about that kind of thing, I thought we'd talk a little bit tonight about the interpretation, the tongues, and the prophecy. So we'd have a little clearer understanding of what's going on when these things do take place. Because we want to be scripturally sound in anything that we do here. If we can't back it with scripture, we don't want to do it. But it isn't surprising, really, that because these things have been discussed and researched and analyzed many times over the years, that it's been talked so much about, that so many people come from the left and the right and somewhere else. It's almost like listening to politics sometimes when you listen to people arguing about what's right and what's wrong when you get into Christian beliefs and attitudes. These spiritual gifts are often referred to as charismatic gifts that we're going to be talking about tonight. So I like to start out by interpreting what are we really talking about, what's that really mean, so let's take a little bit closer look. One of the things we need to ask is, are the spiritual gifts active today? Or was that for another time, or just for a season? Or were they never real? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 10 says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When the perfect comes. So have these gifts passed away yet, or are they still alive? Are they still active? Well, there's two primary schools of thought that I'm going to bring up. And one of them is that the reason I'm bringing up both of these is not to bring confusion into it, but to eliminate confusion so you can understand where both sides come from when we talk about prophecy and we talk about these tongues and some of these other things. First of all, let's talk about the sensationist. Nice big word. What's it mean? Well, it means that they believe that the perfect that was talked about in that scripture was referring to the New Testament. And they believe that once the New Testament took place, that the spiritual gifts that we're talking about were just for that specific time to help get the church started. And that, And just to bring order into the church and so forth. And that once that happened, and once the disciples all passed away, that they all ceased and they came to an end with that. The problem with that is, what do you do with 1 Corinthians 13:12, which states, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And I mentioned the word perfect earlier, and I emphasized it for a reason. I believe that the perfect that they're talking about, that they refer to here, is Jesus Christ. He is the perfect. Amen? I don't think it was the New Testament. The New Testament was important. The Old Testament's important. But the perfect they're talking about when these changes will take place is Jesus Christ, according to the way that I believe and I understand. And Jesus hasn't returned yet. That hasn't happened. So because of that, I believe that until the perfect Jesus returns, the spiritual gifts that we were given are still active, and they're here for a reason. Because quite frankly, without those spiritual gifts, we would really be lacking a lot of understanding of the truth. Has anyone seen God face to face yet? I believe that will happen with the return of Jesus Christ. At that point, there will be no need for prophecy, and there won't be a need to speak in tongues, because the world will come into a whole new order, a kingdom order. The other school of thought, of belief, is called continuationism. Another big word, and it just is the belief that the spiritual gifts are still active today, that they continued and are still continuing on. And as we're talking about this continuation about the spiritual gifts, I might just interject here that there's actually two types of tongues that are brought up in the Bible, not just one. In Acts chapter 2, we're told of tongues that take place where they are understood by people of a different language. They were all able to hear and to understand. It talks about people that showed up in that second chapter of Acts from all over the place. And so they didn't have a common tongue that they were speaking, but they were given a gift to be able to understand that those tongues and those interpretations at that point as the Holy Spirit was coming upon them. And there are times when that still happens today. I've actually had someone tell me of someone who was praying in a tongue, and a person nearby came over and said, "I didn't know that you spoke Hebrew." And that person didn't, but that's what their tongue language was. I've had people that have mentioned my prayer language at times and said, "I didn't know you spoke that particular language," which I don't. But it's a prayer tongue, it's a prayer language that takes place. Excuse me. And there are times, like I said, it still happens today. There's a bottle of water right there, I think, that hasn't been opened from the funeral service we had earlier. I'm sorry. Yeah, that would be fine. Thank you. I apologize for that. There we go. All right. We'll see if we can keep my tongue straight. But there's another type of tongue that's talked about in 1 Corinthians 14:13. 1 Corinthians 14:13. And that's a spiritual tongue. It's not a language that's normally used here on earth. Oh, forgive me. In 1 Corinthians 14, it states, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." There needs to be understanding when we do that. It's not just babbling. This type sometimes happens in churches, and we're even told how they should properly and appropriately take place, just like last Sunday when somebody spoke out in that language. Then everything came to a halt. And that was for a reason, because we were waiting for the interpretation. Because if it's properly done, one person will speak it and another person will interpret it. And sometimes if there isn't somebody else to interpret it there, the person that spoke it should be able to interpret what they just said. If they cannot, the word tells them not to do that. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 and 28, it says, "If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and in each turn, let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let him speak to himself and to God, and not speak it out to the congregation." So it's not, if you walk into a situation and it's one person after another, after another, after another, that's, according to the Word of God, that's really not appropriate. It shouldn't really occur more than two or three times at a gathering. This form of tongues is used to give God's instruction or God's encouragement to the church. There's a reason for it. 1 Corinthians 14 encourages us to pursue love and to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. We're supposed to want those things. It goes on to say that he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. But then goes on to say that I wish even more to prophesy. The prophecy is even more important than the tongues. I'm sorry, my voice was fine till I got up here. We are told in 1 Thessalonians verse 5, verses 20 and 21, that we cannot resist prophecy, but that we must test it and hold on to what is good. I know the enemy doesn't want this word out, but we're going to get this word out. And there's a reason that we're supposed to test the word, and the way you test it is against the Bible. If what's being spoken can't be supported by the word of God, it's not the word of God that's being prophesied. It's somebody's emotions, it's something else. And so we're supposed to test that to see if it's truly the word of God. We're called to do that. But once we test it, if we recognize it, that it truly is reinforced by the word of God, then we're supposed to hold on to it and find out what is good and how we can apply that in our lives. It's there to edify you and to build you up and to help you to become better at being a Christian. Prophecy can come across as a phrase or a statement. So it can come across different ways. It doesn't have to be in one particular form. But we need to use discernment that just because someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," doesn't mean every word they utter is of the Lord, because that is just not true. There are some people that like to talk, or they like to be able to just stand up in the congregation and say something. And so that, again, is another reason you need to test it to make sure that it's verified by the word of God. And prophecy is not fortune telling. I've heard people say, "Well, what's the difference between me listening to prophecy and me going to a fortune teller?" It's because prophecy is an exhortation or an instruction. Fortune telling is not of God. It's evil. It's wrong. And it's trying to get you sucked into believing the lies of the enemy. Tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy should all be done in an orderly manner. If a church is functioning properly, what you saw Sunday was it being done in an orderly fashion. They didn't play music on top of it. Everything came to a standstill, and there wasn't a bunch of different people jumping up and saying things. We waited for the right interpretation. So God's a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. So when you start to see things getting out of control and different people jumping up and different things happening, that is not of God. That's people's emotions or whatever. The word prophecy comes from two Greek words, pro, which means before, and pheno, which means to cause to shine. So basically when a prophet causes the word of God to shine, so anyone who gives what they say as a prophetic word will never go against the word of God, because the very translation of the word prophet is causing the word of God to shine for you to be able to see it. Are the gifts of the Spirit still active today? I say yes. I believe they are. I've experienced them. I've seen the reality of them when they're done properly, and have every reason to believe that they are. There's sometimes when they're misrepresented, and I've seen that happen at different churches. There was a church that I was a part of back in the 70s where I saw people trying to use so-called prophecy as manipulation to get people to do certain things. That is not God. God does not manipulate. So I have seen people misuse this gift, but that doesn't mean the gift isn't real. It just means that the wrong people tried to use it in an inappropriate way. The gifts are very active today. Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And I have had times when I didn't know what to do with a situation or circumstance, and I started praying, and when I prayed in tongues, I actually started to get clarity on it, because the Holy Spirit knows what we need. We don't always know it, though. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, it says, "So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid the speaking in tongues." So we need to recognize that all these gifts are for today. They're for believers, and they help us to grow in Christ. The only thing that we do need to do is to monitor them so that they're being done properly, so that people don't take it out of control and say or do inappropriate things. And I've seen that done. It tells us in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, that some of the gifts of the Spirit are prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. It starts out with the word prophecy. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, it goes on to talk about the word of wisdom, or a word of knowledge, faith gifts, and that's when healings and miracles and so forth can take place. In 1 Peter 4, verse 11, whoever speaks, whoever renders service, it's for that. So basically what I'm saying, all these things are to help us to grow closer to God, to put his gifts and talents to work, to see changes take place in people's life, to keep church services in order, for individuals to be healed, and for us to be lifted up, for our lives to be changed. So I just want to end by encouraging you. If you don't have the gift, I'm not saying every person has to speak the gift of tongues. You have some churches that say it's terrible, it's of the devil. You have other churches say if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Well, the most important gift of the Holy Spirit is love. So if you have the gift of love, you have the Holy Spirit in you if you've received the Holy Spirit. I do believe it's a good thing to be able to speak in tongues. I do believe it's a good thing for prophecy when these things are done in a godly order. Amen?
Amen.
So, Lord, I just pray that what you want to talk was spoken tonight. I was doing just fine until I went to speak, and I just know the enemy was trying to stop this and restrict it. And he's tried to cause confusion and dissension as the church is continuing to grow and different things that take place. But we rebuke that in Jesus' name. We are going to see breakthrough. We are going to see all of these things and more happen because they're gifts that are good gifts. They're from you. And let us not forsake that which you have for us. Let us not misuse what you have for us. But Lord, let these things help us to grow and be all that we can be in you, so that others might desire what you have for them as well because of what they see in us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.